Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a technology presentation from November 2014. Mr. Jens Zeuker, sales manager of Gütermann GmbH, presents Flexible Seams.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jens Zeuker from Gütermann Sewingfrets. This afternoon, I would go through flexible seams together with you. So what's the knowledge so far? What's new? New developments in the market and new developments out of new polymers. So Gütermann by itself, it's not new in the market. Just to give you a brief overview, I don't want to go through here, but just to explain, we are not new in the market. We are established 1864, is quite a long time ago, 150 years this year. And we have done some funny things. We have some innovations done. Gütermann by itself, mainly known out of the retail business. We stepped in the industry in the 50s by launching polyester thread. Gütermann by itself is very famous for niche products. We're doing some very fine products. So our finest at the moment is some like ticket 420. And now we have made our next innovation. We stepped into flexible seams, flexible threads for flexible seams. So just to get into a brief explanation where we come from. So everything starts with a demand on more flexible clothing. The apparel industry by itself, or the clothing industry by itself, likes it at the moment, especially for fitting problems or the solution for fitting problems. But very interesting is for the end user, for body shaping, for having a nice and good fit on the body. But the next users, like children, aged, disabled people, and so on, like the easy fit, the easy wearing characteristic of flexible clothes. And at the end of the day, this is made the most of the visitors in here, active people. Active people are a bright range of, so most of think immediately into sportswear, but as well active people coming out from workwear and workwear operations. So these two areas mix up together at the moment and come to active people, and they like the function of this modern clothes. And at the end of the day, all together like the freedom of wearing. So when you have a pair of jeans which is flexible and you change to a pair of jeans which is unflexible, in an instant you hate this. You would like to have this flexibility, this freedom of movement, and that is the reason that we see a growing demand in the whole clothing industry with the flexible products. So, well, where comes flexibility from? What we see today is a fabric construction. We have new fabric construction. That means we have a change in the weaving technique, which allows to get more elasticity into a fabric. At the same time, new means we have new fabrics used in areas where we never had elasticity in. For example, years ago, we had a clear structure of knit fabrics and uses of knitted fabrics and woven fabrics. This time has gone. More and more manufacturers, which are coming basically from woven fabrics, using today knitted fabrics, due to the fact that we have more elasticity in and that we have from the design complete new areas and directions. From the other end, existing technologies getting pumped up with a certain mixture of flexible fibers started by 1-2% for the menswear and ends up by about 20% what we face at the moment for ladies' wear. And this is quite a lot. Then when we mix both technologies together, we end up with about 200% elasticity in a fabric, in a fabric construction. And now it's a challenge for all production people to get out of this high elastic fabric and high elastic garment. And this is challenging. So what we do so far is we're trying to come around somehow. So therefore we have two main directions how to act. One is by giving them a limitation to the elasticity, done by stabilizing types, thicker threads, or we make multiple seams. That means we have either seam over seam, like a top stitchings. So we sew together, then we top stitches with heavy threads, or we put a tape in. All together, it has a massive influence to the wearing, to the wariness of those pieces, of those seams. And at the end of the day, it makes the whole thing more difficult in production and much more expensive. At the same time, I could try to get slight modifications in my production by, for example, adopting different stitch types. Means today we mainly use a lock stitch machine. We could change easily to an overlock machine or to a chain stitch machine if available in production. But even that limits us down in our design. So, very well known is increasing stitch types, increasing stitches per centimeter. But this is not very easy to do in most of all companies which I have visited in my work life. It's written in stones. We are using 4 stitches per centimeter, dot. We don't do any more. And especially when you have made a very nice stretchable closing seam and you top stitches that one with a heavy thread and you say, okay, for optical reasons, we just can use 2 or 3 stitches per centimeter. That eats my elasticity down. Or what I can do is, as well, during the handling at the machinery, I can stretch the fabric out a bit. I can try to get more thread into my seam, which is quite difficult to achieve. In the beginning of a shift, may it's possible, as long as continues, as more difficult as get. At the end of the day, all of that, what we've done here, gives a limitation, either in design, either in fitting, or at least in function. So, what is responsible for elasticity in the seam? So we're still talking about common knowledge, what we know today. What we know is that the amount of thread we are getting into a fabric, into a seam, is the deciding factor at the end for the later seam elasticity. To show it in a bit better way, it's the material thickness. And here is where the first problem starts. When you go back in history, the thickness of the fabric was much bigger. That means the amount of sewing thread which is getting in was also much more, due to the fact that this length was quite large. Today, it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and in functional wear, we see sizes close to a plastic pack. So some like 0.something millimeters in thickness, and sometimes it's difficult to create a seam into. We have to option for a correct machine setting so that you have the knot in the middle of the fabric and not coming out from on the top or bottom side. The next what we have is the sewing thread diameter. Then what we have done so far is, of course, we have reduced the size of the fabric, we have reduced the diameter of the fabric, but what we never have reduced is the diameter of our sewing thread. So we're still using mainly a 120s, 100s thicket sewing thread, and we stitch them in a very fine fabric. What happens for the operator is to get a nice seam created, he gives some tension on it, that means he stretches out the thread, so we lose the last of the elasticity from the thread by stitching them in. At the end of the day, we have a stiff seam with an unbalanced stitch formation in, and they have no elasticity. But if sewing thread diameter comes the next on top, is I spoke about it, the closing seam is one thing, the top stitching is another story. As soon as I do a top stitch thread or make a top stitch seam and I have to use for optical reason a much bigger thread, I destroy my whole elasticity from the seam. And the others, and this is the last one and very important to remember, it's the distribution of the sewing thread in a seam, which means we have to balance from the needle thread to the looper thread that we have almost of the same amount of sewing thread in. When you take a look at this, just to get an overview, this is the thread consumption of different stitch types. When you see this is a standard Luxich machine, what we mainly use in production today as closing machines, we have a limitation of about 1.2 meters sewing thread in the needle and in the looper. That means at the end of the day, I get out something like 2 meters 50 consumption. If the fabric is much finer, this amount is reduced. If the fabric is bigger, this amount grows a bit up. But as a standard, you can say 2.5 meter, and this gives us 25% seam elasticity by a correct setted machine. That means for you, when you have a fabric elasticity which is roughly by 25 to 30% elasticity, you don't need a special thread, you don't need a special item, you just need a correct setting of your sewing machine. If this amount of elasticity is higher, that your fabric elasticity is reaching a part of 30%, then you have either to change the stitch type to the next possible a chain stitch, or you have to use a different thread. Changes, you see, I have now 1.6 and 34 in a looper due to the fact that the looper is 3 times in, needle thread is 1 time in, and now we're getting something like 5 meters, and you see it's going up to 35%. But when I go back to the last image where we have seen how the distribution in the fabric of the sewing thread has been, then you can see that this part is going finer and finer and smaller, the amount of sewing thread from the needle side is going smaller and smaller. And that is the main reason that we face today problems in the elasticity in classical segments like underwear, knit fabrics. They are having now the problem that the small amount of needle thread which went into the fabric is not enough to gain enough seam elasticity. So those people have to act today. Those people have to change their trimmings. So when we go through overlock machines, it's much more elasticity, and when we come to cover stitches, then we end up with some like 6 meters needle thread, 12 meters, and then we go above 100%. But the problem we have is, this is the most used machine in production. So when your designer says, okay, I allow you to do a stitch with an overlock machine or to use a cover stitch machine, production people face the first problem: this machinery is not available. So either you buy a new one, we change the complete layout of your production, or you find a way to come around. Change the production, for all of us, very difficult. Most of us, we don't have our own production. We use subcontractors who stitch fabrics together for us. When you see most demanding machine, this one is mainly used for shirts, trousers, just used for searching, or for children's wear, you see, only used for the lingerie, underwear. It's not common for upper wear, for outerwear, where we are talking about. So now we have the problem. We have this stitch type in our production, just 25%, and we want to go to 100% by using the same sewing technique we have today, by just changing something in the sewing process. And now we come to a fancy picture. I like this very much, and it tells me nothing. But this is what it is. This is the polymer structure, or the chemical structure of two things, of a non-elastic thread, a non-elastic polymer, and an elastic polymer. I'm not a chemist, I'm not very familiar with that. So therefore, I have made my own small explanation. What we are doing now is, today, we are using this type of polymer, which is anelastic. Out of here, we manufacture anelastic threads. What's new now is that we have elastic polymers. And you see the difference just in the bending of the arms, how they are linked together. This little bit in the structure, this small change, gives us the elasticity we need. But now the challenge starts for us, how to make out of this a sewing thread that you can use in your production. And due to the fact, all techniques we have today in production, either we make a stable spun thread, or we make a continuous filament thread, or a texturizer, or whatever, all together it starts always with a non-elastic polymer, and all those techniques to make the threads are designed for anelastic polymers. And this gives us a small limitation due to the fact out of this high elastic raw material or the high elastic polymers, we just can make continuous filaments. My nice colleague has some off here just to show you. This is our raw material where we start from. This is the fine thing where we have to make a thread out of this. Who's interested in, who can make a tearing test or can check this, how it acts. But at the end of the day, the technique we have today gives us a limitation. We just can make a continuous filament out of it, or a technology what we have in-house. We construct a core yarn, a real core out of microfibers. So what's the difference in both? Purely, filament starts what I have shown now. We have a twisting process, and then we have more or less the end product, which gets dyed, finished, made up. But purely, the whole production way is very short. When we use the core yarn, the micro core technology, we have a step in between where we combine a fact thread and a core thread to a real core spun, or what the Germans know as an Umspinnspun. So this is what we construct out of it, and we get a real closed sewing thread. The advantage for you is with a micro core technology, you get a performing thread. When you use a continuous filament, you just have your limitations. That means this construction carries us back in the late 70s, beginning of the 80s. These threads are altogether not usable for automatic machines. Either some multi-directional sewing machines like Pottek setters or bar tucking machines, or you have multi-directional sewing operations where you sew forwards and backwards with a thread. This one will unruffle, untwist, will snap. It is difficult to use in production. But at the end of the day, it makes a job. But you have to go back in your history, or your production people have to go back in history, how to use a sewing thread, which is very nearly linked to a spun one. The core spun, of course, doesn't have these problems. They have outstanding performance. You can use them one-to-one as exchange for your existing sewing threads. Both of carry the same characteristics. Doesn't matter if it's the continuous spun version or if it's the core spun. Both of them allow us to achieve a seam elasticity of about 80%. And there a word on this. Seam elasticity is not a single thing which comes from the sewing thread by itself. It is a combination of a stitch type and the used sewing thread. So at the end of the day, in this 80% stretchability or the elasticity of the seam, we have 25% included from the stitch type. For lingerie or for underwear, that means if I use a chain stitch machine where I had in the past 35%, I get my 35% back plus about 50 to 60% from the sewing thread. That's maybe the most interesting part to see what we are doing today. We start, this our thread is a standard core yarn, and you see we end up with 25%. By using a chain stitch machine, you're going up to 35%. By using an elastic thread, you gain something like 80%. When you now check your fabrics in your mind, what you really need, usually you need an amount of elasticity between 30 and 40%, mostly not more. So now we go a little bit deeper in the sewing technique. Then elasticity is one thing, but we need to have some strength in the seam. That means the seam has to take some force, has to load some force. When we're talking about seam strength, usually we are talking across across the seam direction. That means when you tear on here, you achieve something like for a lock stitch, for a chain stitch lock stitch machine, something like 25, 30 kilograms strength of a seam. And you can influence this by using a more stronger sewing thread or by putting more stitches in. Putting more stitches in gains again more elasticity, and you have a higher tenacity of the whole seam construction. But, and that's me, a challenging thing, in the sewing direction, you lose in an instant a lot of strength by using a sewing thread with less, with much less strength. As you see here, there's a rough calculation. What you can do is the breaking strength of a sewing thread multiplied by 2.5 roughly gives you the strength of your seam in the sewing direction. Just to get both figures in mind, 25 kilos out of a 120 thread, 4 stitches a centimeter, 2.5 kilograms in the sewing direction with the same thread. But this is only important when your seam elasticity is below the fabric elasticity. If the seam elasticity is above or the same like the fabric elasticity, the whole force will transfer it to the fabric, spread it over the fabric, and it becomes unimportant how strong the sewing thread by itself is. So you could use a much finer thread with much lower tenacity, and you would have the same good seam. So at the end of the day, this is the most important, or one problem of today's seam constructions. We do not have enough elasticity in the seam, and as soon as we get stress in the sewing direction, the seam breaks. This is also important for people who do not manufacture elastic or do not use elastic fabrics, but for all people which are having, after the sewing process, another treatment for their clothes. For example, jeans and trousers, many of them get washed. As soon as I get fabric under wet condition, it goes more flexible, it becomes more flexible, it gets a higher stretchability. That means the seam elasticity becomes an important thing due to the fact in wet conditions you can stretch your fabric more, you can stretch your seam more. Or another thing is when you put this over a shape where you have to have several applications like sandblasting, scratching, bleaching, and. You put it over a model, and then you pump up your garment, and at the end of the day, you give stress to seams which never come in stress. For example, center back closing seams, front seams, which gets fully stretched out, something what never happens during wearing. It happens just when you have this step in production to do. And those threads, as those seams break due to the fact that I do not have enough stretchability in this direction. Most of the technicians come to the conclusion to say, okay, if this seam breaks, I take a bigger thread, I take a more heavier thread, which can more force load, but at the end of the day, you gain exactly the opposite due to the fact that those thread is bigger, it has a higher consumption, space consumption in the fabric, and you have less thread in. You lose again elasticity, and to get up force or to get up stretch, more breaking strength from the sewing thread, that would mean you have to increase your threads from a 120s, for example, which has 2.5 kilograms in the sewing direction, to something like a ticket 10 or 11, which has then something like 20 to 40 kilograms. But this is, I think, for us, impossible to do. But there are some differences which we have to know, which your technicians or the people in production have to know. And one of them is the difference between the non-elastics and the elastics one is they are much bigger in diameter. We all have in our mind a relation between a certain ticket number or text number to a diameter of a sewing thread. And all the technicians in production know exactly, this ticket number, I can use this machinery, I can use this needle size, I can use this setting. That has to be rethinked, or you have to be go through again. The same is the weight of these threads are bigger and you are more heavier, and at the same time, they're carrying less strength. Much bigger diameter affects the optic of a seam. It's the first thing, so you have to make some stitching trials for your designers. The one when we offer you a 120th thread, the diameter of the thread himself, it's like an 80s. And you see, when I have an 80s thread, it has an influence of the choice of a machinery. When we're talking about a 120th, it's not that not such a big deal. But when we go up to a top stitching threads like a 50s or a 30s thread, from one day of the next by using an elastic polymer, you get the double, more or less the double of the size of the sewing thread. So we're right on 80s, but at the end of the day, it is a 50s. The 50s by itself, it's like in 30s, and the 30s, it's like a 20s or even bigger. That has to be in mind by design, and for very important for production people, they have to notice that when you use, for example, the wrong size of the sewing needle, the ear in the needle, it's too fine. When you thread in the thread, it won't pass through what the operator is doing. He's tightening up the tension. When you increase tension, you stretch out your thread. At the end of the day, you lose, during the sewing operation, the whole elasticity just by using a wrong sewing thread needle. In many productions, I have seen that they are limited, that they are buying since years, 80s or 70s needle. They don't have another one. So at the end of the day, they are using the wrong needle, you are using expensive product, you are using the right setting of everything, and your needle costs you something like 20 cents, spoils your quality. Where you have to wear off is the required space in the fabric. As thinner your fabric gets, as more space elastic threads need, due to the fact diameter-wise they are much bigger. And when you form a stitch, you form a knot, and this knot need some space in the fabric. And if your fabric is too densely woven, then it could happen that you generate with those types of thread displacement pucker. So when you have made a compromise earlier on, before you use elastic threads, by putting in more stitches, for example, going up from the standard 4 to something like 6 to 7, and you change now to a elastic thread, you have to go back to a lower stitch density. Otherwise, you generate maybe too much seam pucker, too much displacement pucker. The same is with the seam optic. There is a difference due to the fact that the thread is bigger, and this is a point which has to be discussed with design or sales in the companies. And this is something I talked about this before. There is a number on the top of the sewing thread. And this number tells you, at the end of the day, nothing. But you have a relation in your mind where you say, okay, it's an 80s thread, it's a ticket 80, and this ticket 80 has such and such diameter, and we use it for these and these applications. But at the end of the day, you have to look closer to the text number. The text number tells you the weight of the thread and gives you a better impression how big this thread could be. So don't worry when you get a 120th thread, an elastic thread, and there's written on text 38 instead of 24 or 25. That means at the end of the day, the physical thickness of the thread and the text number has no relation anymore compared to that what you have learned in the last years. So the text number tells you it's a fine thread. The physical thread by itself, it's much bigger, but it has not that big like a real 80s or a real numbered thread. It's difficult in the beginning. So you have to find a new relationship between machine setting, optic, and choice of sewing needle. And now we come to the one point, and this is the strength. At the end of the day, it's not correct. It's not the seam strength, it's the breaking strength. When you compare spreadsheets, that you ask us, please send us a data sheet, and you will check the, you will make a cross check, you will find out that your actual used fret on the Flex products have a different breaking strength. So the breaking strength of the elastic ones are much less. Some of have standards saying I have to use a minimum strength of 1,000 centinewton, 2,000 centinewton, whatever. This has to be new calculated due to the fact I can compensate the missing strength, first of all by a bigger diameter, but this is very important. I compensate the missing strength by using higher elasticity. That means at the end of the day, it never comes stress to the sawing fret itself. It carries all the force, all the incoming stress to the fabric. So I don't need that much anymore. This is the old-fashioned thinking. Make it seem stable and stiff as most as possible, and at the end of the day, then I'm on the safe side. No, today we exchange strength by elasticity. But it's the most important thing for all people who has to make the labeling. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you have a non-elastic or you have an elastic polymer used to manufacture a thread out of it. As long as it's a polyester, you have the same characteristics, you have the same fastnesses and properties. There's absolutely no change, either in color fastness, rubbing fastness, dry cleaning, and so on. That means at the end of the day, you can exchange it one to one without losing any effort. And now we come to the application areas. It's something, this picture I dislike at all. But in the end of the day, you have two options. Either you use this for selected seams, or you use it for the whole garment. At the end of the day, the layout of your production planning, and your work plan decides which machinery is following the single steps. Is it possible to have a change of the sewing thread in production? And the others is, what is a really critical factor for me? Example, if you stitch a pair of trousers together and you have this top stitching in the front, you just need a bit more elasticity. That means here it's fully enough to use an elastic thread. The same is for knitwear if you have a lock stitch seam for the neck. Or you have a back center seam from a trouser. It's no problem to exchange only these positions by an elastic thread. But be careful to combine elastic threads with non-elastic threads in the same seam. This is what I have seen in the last years very often, that the closing seam is made out of an elastic thread, has a high elasticity, has a high stretchability, and then you make a top stitching, and your design decides to use a very heavy thread, and you top stitch, then you close or this seam with an non-elastic thread. That means the whole effect is gone. And the same is to say the uses in combination. The idea is to say, oh, then I put the elastic thread in the needle, and in the loopers I use for several reasons a different thread. But then the elasticity is eaten from the non-elastic thread. So therefore, our recommendation, you can split it, you can use different threads in a garment, but never mix it up with different types. That means elastic and non-elastic. There are some excuses which we know from the underwear manufacturers. They are using a needle thread today, and they are using a texturized thread. Most of know or have the feeling that the texturized thread gives a higher elasticity, but a texturized one has no elasticity, yes, stretchability. Means you stretch it and it stays where it is. It doesn't go back. This is what, for example, a texturized thread is doing. Today, due to the fact that the underwear is getting finer and finer and finer, you can exchange here the sewing, the needle thread by an elastic one, and using your looper thread as a bulk. This is no problem due to the fact the amount of needle thread is reduced, it's only reduced, the amount of loop of thread is still the same. So you can exchange this one, or what's also possible, when you do embroidery, most of have today the problem that embroidery breaks during washing operations or during wearing, especially when I put it on back pockets. There you can use as well an elastic thread in the neve as loop of thread, or an under thread in this case. So the best thing to do is, if you have an elastic garment, stitch them together with an elastic thread, use them as a general seaming thread, get familiar with, and step into a new area, a new time of thread usage. The price differences is almost 100%, but you have to calculate in between your complaints and your repairs. And when you take this out, then it becomes cheap. But at the end of the day, of course, it is a more expensive thread. It has several reasons. One reason is the availability of the raw material is very limited. Today, we are all price-driven. That means we have high capacities in non-elastic filaments and non-elastic polymers. This is what we are doing since years. And now, our raw materials manufacturers, suppliers, have to establish a new production chain. In the beginning, of course, it's all together a bit more expensive, but it's getting less, less, less. So this is moving. Yes and no. If you're using the continuous one, the continuous version, just twisted version, then you have a limit. Today we say something between 3,000 to 4,000 stitches on a chain stitch machine. Lock stitch machine. On chain stitch machines, you have no limitations. There you can run on full speed. But full speed is mainly designed by the operator. Then we have seen, when you use an overlock machine that goes up to 10,000 stitches a minute, that is very nice. The machine is fast enough, but the operator is not fast enough to handle it. So therefore, we recommend to go down with the speed, even when you go below 3,000 stitches a minute, and train your operator to make a seam without a stop. You have a better seam appearance and you have a more elasticity in the thread. At the end of the day, the whole seam, it's nicer made. But yes, there is a limitation when you're using the twisted version. If you're using our microcore, there's no limitations. It has exactly the same performance like a standard sewing thread. Other questions? Then I have to press the last button. This is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. For your free entrance badge and other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright November 2014 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.